I'd like you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Last Sunday night, we looked at the armor, spiritual armor, and I've got a PowerPoint. It'll just kind of help us go through, and I want to end up by talking about a few guidelines for intercession. I probably won't go through everything that's in the PowerPoint, but they'll just follow me back there. There's a Proverbs verse I've been putting right in front of us these last few weeks. And so just one last time, I promise, I will not torment you with this verse anymore, at least not for a while. Because you made a promise to me that you would not use this verse when you're visiting somebody in the hospital or doing pastoral care. This is not a verse for that. But it is a verse to help us understand we need to grow in our strength to stand as believers. And Proverbs 24:10 says, if you falter in a time of trouble, how small your strength. How small is your strength? You don't need, we need to be coming towards, we have the strength to be able to stand. And so in Ephesians 6, where I think I've just had you turn, it says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And he says that in order that we may, quote unquote, stand against the devil's schemes. Those are segments of verses 10 and 11 out of chapter 6. Be strong in the Lord in his mighty power in order to stand against the devil's schemes. And then he goes on in the next verse, verse 12, to say, to define those schemes. That we're fighting against the powers of this dark world, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So we've been talking about our need to, in the end, be standing. That we don't need to be just toppled over by the enemy all the time, especially if we're to be spiritual warriors and intercessors. We really need to understand spiritual warfare. We need to understand how to stand. We don't need to have small strength. We can be mighty in the Lord. I believe that. You know, not because we're impressive, but because he died for us and rose from the dead, and he's given us his resurrection power, and he can do abundantly more than anything we ask or think. I mean, that sounds like good grounds to stand on. See? So he's building all of this. And then he goes into the six pieces of the armor, and we surveyed all of those last week. After he finishes listing the armor in verse 18, verse 17 is the last piece of armor, the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then in verse 18, I mean, what do you say after that? That's how we do spiritual warfare. We stand in those gospel realities represented by the armor of God. And then he said, I want you, in verse 18, he kind of embeds all of this putting on of spiritual armor into what he calls a quote-unquote all occasions assignment. Where he says this in verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. All kinds of prayers and requests. And I should have put the next verse in too, but we're going to get to it in a minute, the rest of that verse. And he said, with this in mind, be alert, always keep on praying for all the saints. So let's read the entire verse, verse 18, all together. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. There's a lot of alls in there, by the way. And he gives us assignment to keep covering one another in prayer at all times. This is intercession. Not when you pray for yourself. That's petition. But when you pray for others. In other words, you stand between God and a person. And you call out to God on behalf of that person. And isn't this an amazing transaction in the spiritual realm? God answers your faith-filled prayer on behalf of that person as if they were calling out to God themselves. And so he says, on all occasions, okay, you put on the spiritual armor. What is it unites all this spiritual armor and keeps this strength surging by which we stand? On all occasions, we pray with all kinds of prayers and requests, and then specifically goes into intercession. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. So here's an assignment that God gives us. that we can pray on other people's behalf, and especially the need to cover one another, all the saints. Now, the next picture is a picture of a banner that I took outside of a very famous church in Paris about a month and a half ago. Sandy and I were there between Christmas and New Year's with our two daughters and their husbands. One of our daughters lives in Brussels, and so we had been with her, and we jumped on the train, went over to Paris. We visited Sacré-Cœur. It's a church that was built, it's a Catholic church, it was built especially in honor of the great love that God the Father has for people. And this banner was on the front, and I don't know, it's a little hard to read. I just transferred it off my iPhone last night. It says, this is hanging down on the front of this gorgeous cathedral. It says, for over 125 years, here, night and day, somebody is praying to the Lord. In other words, for over 125 years, 131 years to be exact as of this year, they have had people night and day, 7 days a week, praying. Now, it's Catholic, I know, and that's another whole issue, I suppose, but I just love that. I just love that. The idea that night and day, this is Ephesians 6:18, on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers, keep this in mind, be alert, and always keep on praying for all the saints. I mean, that's always prayer right up there. Night and day for 131 years, people in Sacré-Cœur have been praying to our Heavenly Father. Now, this is intercession. This is praying on behalf of one another. I want to take you to Samuel Chadwick. He said this: the one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, and prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, mocks at our wisdom, but trembles when we pray. Or one of my favorites, that A.C. Dixon quote I actually shared with you a few Sunday nights ago. Here it is one more time. It's so easy to remember. When we rely on organization, we get what organization can do. When we rely on education, we get what education can do. But when we rely on eloquence, we get what eloquence can do. But when we rely on prayer, we get what God can do. That's why prayer is the heating plan of the church. That's why Paul would say, now that you've engaged the spiritual battle in a way that that puts on the pieces of the armor and causes you to stand in the strength of the Lord, then he said, tie all of that together by praying always in the Spirit, interceding especially for all the saints. Keep praying for all the saints. That's intercession. Let me just give you, this is not a long message tonight, I'm just going to run through a few guidelines. These things are just things that have helped me when it comes to interceding. But, you know, and I told you a few Sunday nights ago, I pray for myself just in case no one else is. So, you know, in case you forget, I'm just covering the bases because this is too important. But this is when you are not praying for yourself, you are praying for others, okay? And first of all, give God time. Give God time. I found when you intercede, God wants to give you a heart for that person you're praying. He wants you to begin to experience his heart for that person. And sometimes this takes time. You know, 5:30 in the morning, I don't know, I always feel like praying. You know, and I used to just get down and I'm like, oh, so, you know, if I was spiritual, I'd feel like praying, you know. And the devil comes and lies and said, you're not spiritual. See, you're not spiritual. See, you're a hypocrite. See, you preach to people all the time. And it's 5:30 in the morning. You don't even want to pray. I mean, after all I did for you, you know, after all Jesus did for you, the devil says, and you don't even want to pray. You're a loser. You know, I just figured, you know what? I don't want to pray sometimes because I'm just human. And it's 5:30 in the morning and I've only had one cup of coffee. I mean, it doesn't get more complex than that. You know what? But I find if I would just choose to give God time, with some time. I mean, I've had prayer times where I just had to just sort of make myself start praying. But, you know, 20, 25 minutes later, it's like I didn't want to stop. Because if you just give God time is such a valuable commodity. It's almost more important than money to people these days. fact, they say time is money. I mean, time is the most valuable currency we have these days. And if you could give some of that currency to God and just give him time. Don't be rushed. Give some time. Don't say, oh, how could I pray for a half hour straight today? I mean, don't even start there. Just start with the first few minutes and just give him time. And give it time for God's heart. Sometimes I'll just pace back and forth and I'll pray in tongues. I won't beat myself up because I don't feel spiritual yet. And emotions are not spiritual power anyway. We've been talking about that. You know what? You know, your emotions lie to you and sometimes they tell you the truth. But you never know on a given day some days. But you just give God time. And I'll pace. I'll just pray in the Spirit. I'll just try to yield to the Holy Spirit. I'll just try to not put pressure on myself, but just pray. And then you start praying for people and you start doing things. And if you give God time, he starts giving you his heart for people. Number two, stand on the merits of Christ's blood alone. I find, especially when I start interceding for people, those are when the accusations of the enemy are especially strong. When you engage ministry moments of any kind, that's where the devil comes and reminds you of your track record, you know. And he'll just remind you that you're not a good prayer and you don't pray enough. And look what you said to somebody 2 weeks ago. You shouldn't have said that. And so you think God's going to answer your prayers. I mean, there's just accusations. I want to tell you, there's one thing that gives us standing before the Father of heaven and earth. And it's the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He is our intercessor. That's why we pray, by the way, in Jesus' name. We sang about his name, that new song we've been learning. We sang about it tonight. You see, it's a wonderful name. Because if you come in your name, I mean, you couldn't scare a mosquito. I'm nothing personal, but you're not going to have much strength in the spiritual realm. I don't know that any of you are that impressive. I'm certainly not. But when you come in the name of Jesus, you are pleading, you are appealing to all the provisions purchased for you by Jesus' shed blood. We're told that we've been purchased from the kingdom of darkness by his blood. That's a price the devil can't top. And the devil can't touch you when you're under the blood of Jesus in terms of any kind of accusation that sticks. In fact, the devil means the accuser, right? He just makes his business accusing us before the Father. We listen in too much. But the fact is, our response is not to try to argue, no, I'm really better than that, devil. No. My spiritual self-esteem isn't based on my track record. My spiritual self-esteem is based on what Jesus did for me 2,000 years ago. This is kind of what we were talking about, right, a couple, three Sunday mornings ago. Think gospel. You know? Think gospel. You know, it's, and you stand and the devil hurls accusations, and sometimes it can be very distracting, especially when you're starting really to press in an intercession. And you just gotta, sometimes you just gotta stubbornly say, I am forgiven by the blood of Jesus, and that's why I pray in his name, because I appeal to what his blood bought of my life. How his blood rescued me from the purchased me from the domain of darkness, and my standing is in the fact that I'm a forgiven person covered by the blood of Jesus. Now, if you've got unconfessed sin in your life, you better listen to the conviction of the Holy Spirit and deal with that. But I'm talking about you've confessed all known sin. You're trying to walk. You're pursuing the heart of God. Just stand in the provisions of his shed blood. Number three, focus on the Spirit's help. I had a friend who's a missionary now in Europe, and years ago, I was his pastor, and we used to have a lot of prayer meetings when I was pastoring University Church, the University of Minnesota. And he said, he was really being challenged in his prayer life. I mean, we had a church that was very prophetic, very intercessory. I mean, we'd gather, instead of having regular services Sunday morning, we'd just gather for very intense prayer meetings. I mean, these 18-year-olds, these 22-year-olds would just intercede. I mean, just intercede and intercede. They call it to God, and we see God do great things. Well, he said, I was trying to grow my prayer life and everything. And he said, I come and I find like I was just focused on myself. Like, how can I just kind of rev this up? And it's kind of related to number one, giving God time. And he said, it suddenly dawned on me that when I was looking inside of myself for the resources to pray, I'd fall flat on my face. So I decided just to relax. And I start my prayer times just by saying, Holy Spirit, I need your help to pray. I can't pray without you. You teach me to pray. You know what? Prayer's not overly complex. I believe you get on your knees and say, Spirit of God, would you teach me how to pray? Just don't depend on yourself. Depend on the Holy Spirit when you pray. Start by just constantly saying, God, I can't do this myself, but I need your heart, I need your spirit, I need your help. So that's focus on the Spirit's help. Number four, keep prayer God-centered rather than problem-centered. I have to confess, I went through seasons in my prayer life where I was doing just fine. I was kind of a happy camper. You know, I was walking in the joy of the Lord, and isn't it wonderful all the things God's doing? And then I go to prayer. And sometimes, you know, those prayer requests can be pretty nasty, right? What do prayer requests do? They remind you of all the problems. In fact, it got to where I found I was hesitating going to prayer because just I liked being happier. Because I'm just being really honest with you. I'd pray for a half hour, and then I'd just be like, wow, thank you, Lord, for that half hour to remind me of all the things that are wrong, that just need changing. You know, and I'd just be depressed at the end. And I found myself not wanting to, you know, engage that. And the Spirit of God had to begin to teach me, as he's taught many of you, you know, you don't go focusing on the greatness of your problem. You go and you focus on the greatness of God. That's why often good prayer begins with praise, right? Because you don't focus on the greatness of your problems, you focus on the greatness of your God. And I want to tell you, God's greatness outdimensions the worst problem you will ever pray for. You know what? No problem you'll pray for is bigger than God's capacity and his greatness. It's way bigger. In fact, his greatness makes all those huge things look smaller. And you know that old song we used to sing, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will go strangely. That's a diminishing word. All this stuff that stresses us, worries us, that makes the content of all our prayer requests, it all grows strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And so you got to be very careful if you're an intercessor, especially if God's really called you to a ministry of intercession. Your praise life has to be great. In fact, many times, great intercessors spend more time adoring God than they do asking him for things. Because it's in the adoring of God, it's in the focusing on his greatness, that faith is cultivated so that when you ask, he hears and it's done. So keep prayer God-centered rather than problem-centered. You know, you ought to end prayer times. This is your litmus test. If your prayer times end just feeling overwhelmed with all these things you reminded yourself are so bad, you know, then you're probably not praying with faith and praise like you could. But you know, the litmus test, if you enter intercession with just a sense of release and victory and joy, then you know you've connected with a God who's bigger than anything you prayed for. Hallelujah. And it's his. He's got it, not you. By the time you end prayer, you got to be able to say, Lord, you got this. I'm sure of it. In fact, Jesus said, when you pray, when you ask, believe that you have received it and it shall be given to you. There's a tense difference there. And somehow you come to the place like, I know I have this. I've gained it in the Spirit. I possessed it by faith in the Spirit. And you leave not overwhelmed with the problems you've reminded yourself of because you had to pray for them, but you end knowing you've gained the answer in the Spirit. And you walk away and say, God, you got this now. And that's the witness of the Spirit. You just feel relief. You pray through. That's an expression you don't hear a lot anymore, but you pray through until you know God's got it. Okay? And that relates to the next one. Blend number five. This will be our last one. Blend specific requests with spiritual travail. Blend specific requests with spiritual travail. What do I mean? I believe in prayerless, you know, and I believe in you have not because you ask not, right? And I believe, ask and you shall receive. I believe in all that. But we are engaged in spiritual battle. And sometimes in intercession, it takes a while to get from engaging prayer for that person to the place where you really know God's got it now. Because there is spiritual battle. In intercession, we'll engage spiritual battle. I'll never forget, I had an experience when I was a university pastor of one summer. Our students were scattered home. And I remember praying for this gal. And for some reason, God really put her on my heart. And I just felt urgency as I started praying. And I almost felt like I was literally standing between her and God and just kind of taking some of the devil's darts. And sometimes when you really pray, Sometimes intercessors will say, I actually began almost to feel the grief and compassion of God's heart for that person, or I almost began to feel their lostness, you know, because you really are standing in for somebody else. Paul said all the time, keep covering, praying for all the saints. Keep standing in for all the saints around you in the spiritual realm, and you'll start to engage this. And I remember she came back to school that fall, and she started recounting a story. It was right around that time, right around that week, that summer, that she just felt like something broke and something lifted, you know? Because you can come in, but sometimes it is a battle. Sometimes you engage even the spiritual battle that's against that person because you're praying on their behalf, and you have to fight. And sometimes it turns into travail. Remember Paul said, we don't always know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit prays through us, right? With groanings that cannot be uttered. That's why it's so helpful to speak in tongues, you know? Just travail. And sometimes it's even just groaning in the Spirit. Sometimes there's a travail because there's a bringing to birth of whole new breakthroughs of God's Spirit in people's lives. And sometimes that involves spiritual travail. It's more than just, you know, walking through a prayer list, you know, 2 seconds per name. And I think that's great to do because God answers prayer. But sometimes when real breakthroughs, when there's real spiritual battle, sometimes God brings us into a place of travail. I kind of was exposed to that in my Pentecostal upbringing. But when I went to an out-of-state university where I'm going this week, when I went there as a freshman, I had a guy by the name of Dwayne. He was 2 years ahead of me in school. And he was like this 21-year-old fervent Pentecostal. And there was an old historic church right on the edge of campus. Some of you may remember me telling this story. It was an old church building. It was probably built 100 years ago, bricks, spires. I mean, just it looked like a mini cathedral. It was right at the edge of Winona State University. And my second year at Winona State, he corralled me. This is last year. He corralled me and said, we got to pray. So we would go, and he had figured out, because this was kind of a dead church, like dying, I mean, nobody was there during the week. He figured out how to pick the lock on the front door of this church. He introduced me to a life of crime, actually. And he picked the lock. I mean, I learned how to pick that. I got to where I could do it myself. And he picked the lock, and we would break into this church like 3 afternoons a week. And we go in there, and like for 2 hours, we would just seek God. And now I'm 18 years old, right? I'm maybe just turned 19. And he's this guy 2 years older than me. And Dwayne would go in the platform of the church, and he'd just lie on his face. And he would just, I mean, and he was not a quiet Pentecostal. He would just, this 21-year-old kid, I mean, it shook my world to meet someone almost my age with the travail of God in his spirit like this young man had. And he was a real kid. I mean, he liked basketball. I mean, he was kind of a normal kid in a way. But he just had the heart of God. Yeah, that's probably all of us, right? We're just normal kids, but we can have the heart of God. And he'd lie on his face on the platform, and he'd just cry out to God for Winona State University. He said, God, we need a miracle. We need a revival. And he'd just pray in the Spirit. He just travailed. He'd call out to God. Sometimes I'd sit there on the step and watch him and go, like, how does he do that? You know, I mean, that's something. But he was possessed with the heart of God. I would later have to walk through that as I, you know, at the end of that year, transferred to the University of Minnesota, and I told that story a few weeks ago. Dwayne was an amazing guy, and it was interesting. I was transferring to the University of Minnesota at the end of that year, and he was graduating 2 years ahead of me. And it's just like a dam broke on that campus 2.5 months before we left. I've never seen something like this in a secular setting. It's like God just went and blew over that campus, and all of a sudden, all kinds of students. He didn't use us, either of us. We were all about to leave the university. But he used a girl who used to argue with me about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And finally, she's got so hungry for God that she had another girlfriend that was a Pentecostal pray for her in her dorm room. God just hit her. I mean, and all of a sudden, a dam opened. I mean, she started going like a rampage in that campus. All kinds of kids started getting saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit. I mean, the last 2 months, I saw God just answer Dwayne's prayer. I mean, a 21-year-old kid just travailing before God for the lostness of a university campus. And God just began to do that. But on one of my last weeks in the camp, I was walking across camp, and I felt like the Spirit of God said to me, I'm going to answer Dwayne's prayers far into the future. Far into the future. So I transferred to the University of Minnesota. We had our own spiritual breakthrough there. Ended up, you know, I finished my PhD, ended up just staying there, pastoring that group full time. I'm pastoring this university church. We're training interns that work full time. They raise funds, work for us full time. Then we send them out to plant campus ministries. This is now 15 years later. And one of my interns says, I feel God's calling me to Winona State University, start a Chi Alpha group. I go, wow. I didn't make this happen. I didn't, but okay, well, let's pray about that, you know. And so we ended up sending he and his wife down to Winona State University. His name was Dave. And he had a hard first couple of years. It was like very tough ground. And all of a sudden, he saw a spiritual breakthrough. Their group started to explode. And the largest, they outgrew the largest auditorium on campus that they could get on a regular basis. And so they needed to find facilities. And if, you know the end of this story. He ended up buying the building that Dwayne and I used to break into. Yeah. And so that's where I'm going this week. I'm actually doing the School of the Bible in that building. They do their, I'll speak on campus for Chi Alpha meeting, but right beside it, there they are. And it's a new campus pastor now, and they're just, that group is just going. God's doing wonderful things. But God spoke to me and said, when a 21-year-old kid carries the heart of God and mixes prayer requests with spiritual travail, I can birth things that last for years and years. I mean, that was, I mean, Dwayne and I said goodbye to each other in 2002 when he graduated and I transferred to the University of Minnesota. 1972. I truly am that young. I just look old. 1972. It was funny. Let me add one thing. When I was elected next door and I left Central, I had this overwhelming sense that I needed to connect with Dwayne again. Because Dwayne had gone to Ohio State and started a university church there. Turns out he's still there in Columbus. But we hadn't talked to each other in over 20 years probably. And I just had this need to see him again when I stepped out of pastoring here into that role. And I had a meeting near Columbus where I could clear an extra half day. I contacted him. And we met. And we sat in a Panera. He sat across the table. And he said, Jim, you haven't lost that heart. You haven't lost that heart. And I kind of needed to hear that after all those years. Because he was my role model. He was my mentor. And Dwayne said, he's still like that. You know, you don't need to lose this when you get old. He said, Jim, I mean, this is just a few years ago. He said, Jim, I kind of preach the same way. He was always an incredible preacher. He said, I always preach the same way, except I cry a lot now. I thought, that's Dwayne, still carrying the heart of God, still with a broken heart for people. And you know what? We can carry the heart of God. This is what intercession is. It's not just a prayer list. It's carrying the heart of God for one another and praying through the heart of God until we know, God, you've got it now. You've got it. Will you stand with me? Let's just pray for one another. Put your hand on someone's shoulder beside you. Let's just pray for a minute. Father, we thank you that we can, with all kinds of prayers and petitions, pray at all times for all the saints. Help us, Lord. Bless the person beside us. Encourage them. Strengthen them, Lord. Minister to them, we pray, in Jesus' name. God, fill them with your Spirit in Jesus' name.